Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Prophecy of the hour. You know, our Father is very good to us. He wrote us a letter, and he told us exactly how things would be, so there should be no surprise. Even if it gets a little rough, if he has foretold you, you need to make preparation. Prepare yourself mentally. And always remember this. What happens to the world when you're in the Lord is of a lot less consequence than when you're in the world. Okay. You want me to say that again? When you're truly close and in the Lord, the world is going in a handbasket. All right, the world, that is to say the cosmos, the rudiments of this world are on their way out. That's to say the evilness, the wickedness, Satan's rule, it's on its way out. We're going to stay. It's ours to have and to hold. So we don't get all shook up. We're not going to let them see a sweat on our first cruise. We're going to stand up for our rights. But always remember this. God is in control. And whatever happens, we can cut it. We can handle it, for it's God's doings. Especially if it gets so out of balance, it's obvious that our Father will take note. You know, he wrote a chapter in a big book of prophecy that fits exactly this moment, and it so happens that it happens just before his return. So that kind of, let that be kind of a lesson at the same time, that we're drawing nigh to that time when this, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know that. The false Messiah is going to appear on earth. Okay? Sometimes you almost think he's already here. But he's not, trust me. And if you can't fight with the cavalry, what are you going to do when if you can't fight with the infantry, what are you going to do when the cavalry shows up? So you want to keep your feet on the ground, stay relaxed, and know, as God has promised, we got the victory. We got it made. And when you stay in him, every day is a good day, even with trouble, because he's going to take you through it. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 3. What has happened in chapter 2, God is describing how it's going to be in the last days, how he's going to put everything back as it was. It's going to be a beautiful world in chapter 2. And then, you know, the people just kind of go amok. I don't know what other word to say, amok. But Israel and Judah, as you know, migrated, scattered. Only about 43,000 of Judah went back to Israel, that is to say, Jerusalem, under Cyrus, that is to say, went after the captivity. And the others dispersed. The 10 tribes dispersed 200 years before, went over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians. So certainly what has to do, and the house of Judah and the house of Israel were split, but it was still promised, you're going to become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Where are those people? When they went over the Caucasus Mountain, they began to be called Caucasians. It doesn't make them any better than anybody else or anything else. God loves all of his children that he created very much. But that does not take the responsibility off of those that he has written this letter to know and to understand what's happening, what you can expect, why, so that you can prepare. Man only fears the unknown. You don't fear what you know. And as an old combat marine, let me tell you something. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A brave man dies but once. Okay. That's just the way it is. So know what you're doing. Always be trained at the very highest level. In as much as this battle has to do with Satan. Your training comes from here. If you're biblically illiterate, you are in bad shape. You truly are. With all the technology that we have in this world, for one to not even have at least a working knowledge of what has been stated. Anyway, having said that, with these people having been scattered now, and they kind of went to the dogs. That's a good old Southern saying, isn't it? I think even the Yankees say that every once in a while, okay? And we certainly love them, all right? Hey, we're all one family. Anyway, here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is after they kind of fell away. For behold the Lord. I mean, take a look at him. The Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. What is the famine of the end times for? It's not for bread, Amos chapter 8. It's for hearing the word of God taught. And certainly, what is the water? It's the living water. In other words, they're devoid of any teachings of the prophets or the gospels. And incidentally, this is very political. It's the political ruin of our people. That's what this chapter addresses. Verse 2, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, an honest one that is, and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient. And this wisdom is supposed to lie in the head of the ancient. They're supposed to, with experience, have a little bit of experience as to what's honest, forthright, and good for our people, for our nation. Verse 3, the captain of 50. What this is saying, you're not going to find one. You're not going to find anybody that can lead 50 people. And the honorable man, you're not going to find very few of those. And the counselor and the cunning artifact. And the eloquent orator, some gifted speaker that can put things aright. You see, we have one counselor, not this man or any other man. It's our Heavenly Father. He knows exactly what he's doing. And just before that great day, what would be in charge? If you can't find a man that can lead 50, I mean, you sure can't expect a draft dodger to be a commander-in-chief to lead 10. He wouldn't know how. Here in Arkansas, we know he was never even a Boy Scout. He'd rather play with the girls. Verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. That's to say, men with the minds of children will be placed in office. And they'll think like a bunch of babes as far as intelligence, honor, dignity, and purpose for protection of the family rather than just self, power. You know, it's like, you ever set two little children down that have never played with anybody, and pretty soon one of them is going to say, mine! Mine! You know. And here we go. You know, so, you see, prophecy is a lot nearer than you might think. Children like to play games. And there's nothing wrong with children playing games. But when you've got them in great places where there's supposed to be wisdom and intelligence and sanity coming forth from it, that's sad. Okay? That's where you're at. It's written, and it has come to pass. Let's hope and pray that our Father begins to allow it to lean the other way, and someone that can, you know, being a Democrat certainly doesn't make a person bad. Being a Republican certainly doesn't make a person bad. But if you lean over towards communism, which drives away gods, which is socialism, that can turn into something pretty bad. What I'm saying is we have good people. But what we need is leaders. Well, where did they go? God took them away. With enough prayer, maybe he'll bring one back. Led by, he said, I'm not going to let anybody get in office for one period of time that can think past the state of a babe. They're going to think like it and act like it. No dignity. Verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Children are going to have no respect for the elders. Bunch of smart mouths. And the base against the honorable, the criminal, will be base against an honorable man. You know, it's amazing when an honorable man protects his dignity. A crook will rook you right out of everything you've got. You know, God intended you to be wiser than the serpent. Being a Christian and being honorable doesn't mean you have to be a wimp. Okay? You hang on to what you've got. We don't give ground. We take it in an honorable and what's right way. I'm talking about real Christians. We're not giving an inch to Satan. We're taking names and kicking dragon. All right? And that's the way it's going to be from here to the end. Can-do type people. You being a Christian are not a walking mat for anyone. Well, brother, what about that scripture that says you're to love your enemies? That's right. But if you really love your enemy and he's got a bad attitude, it needs an adjustment. And if you care for him, you're going to give him that adjustment. That's real love. It's just like God tells you to love your children, but discipline them. Right? So that's the same way with the enemy. We have to think, protect, and do that that is honorable. Verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, that means they're brothers of the same womb, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. It's in such a mess, you take responsibility for it. In a way, this business, it's all their fault. We want to do the will of the people. It's all their fault. The will of the people is with us. You know, who's going to take blame? Who's going to stand up? I started to say an old Marine Corps saying, who's going to belly up to the bar and get this settled? Right? And that's the bar of the law, of course. You know, that's where Marines' habitat usually is. Anyway, unfortunately. But nobody wants to take responsibility. Listen to me. You must take responsibility for your life. You must be responsible for what you do. Because in God's eyes, you are. Like it or lump it. The only way you can become an accountable individual and realize we live in a real world and face reality. And, hey, learn by your mistakes. You can cut it. You can handle it. You'll be a much better person for it. Verse 7, in that day, what day is that? Just before the end, you'll find that word written in chapter 2, verse 2. All right, the last days. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer. I'm not going to put this back straight. For in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. What should one have on for clothing? Ephesians chapter 6, the gospel armor. And what was the girt? That's the belt. Do you know what the belt does? It holds up your breeches. And that belt is the word of God. And that's what's going to hold your breeches up so you're not embarrassed in this end generation. Is to be familiar with the Word, the living Word, and that is to say Christ Himself. Verse 8, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. Now, we don't know and we cannot judge everything that's taking place in the actual city of Jerusalem today, but I guarantee you, talk about ruin, it's a mess. Okay? Just like a lot of other places in the world. It's bad. And I'm going to tell you something. It's getting worse. And we hope and pray. But the thing is, you face reality and take care of your space, and you stay in control under God. Did you hear what I said? Stay in control under God, because He's the one that's in control. And you take care of your own business, and when enough honorable people begin to come on the scene, the rest will fall in place, as long as we pull together and keep doing what's right. Verse 9, God sees, God knows, and God controls. Verse 9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. Look at their faces. You been in an airport lately? Do you see happiness? Bewilderment? It's kind of sad, isn't it? They don't have, overall, people that drift away from the truth don't have really that joy to look forward to. That is to say, understanding what's happening today. It is written, and it is coming to pass. So like it or lump it, it's going to go down exactly as the Father says it will. Have you read it? The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. In other words, they talk about it. They consent to it openly. You know what the sins of Sodom are? They parade and hide it not. Woe unto their soul. And it's not just their flesh they better worry about. Soul. For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Hey, don't blame it on anyone else when you bring evil down on yourself. You bite it off, you chew it. And it's bitter. But when you do, you do. That's it. Face reality and take responsibility for your own actions. And straighten it up. Never let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? You know, some of us have been where there's real trouble. This isn't trouble today. Okay. Some of us have been where, I mean, we had trouble. And of course, my mind goes back to the Chosun Reservoir, where we had 12,000 Marines and 320,000 Chinese. Talk about an uneven ballot. That's an uneven ballot. And we came out. That's trouble, friend. Today, this is duck soup. Just be patient and trust your Father. He's going to work it out. All right? Verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. In other words, the rewards are going to fall as they are. It's in the book. It's written. What's written by your name? I don't know. It's there. Well, I have sinned. Well, did you repent? Yeah, well, it's not there. Excuse me. When you repent, it's erased clean with the exception of your rewards. They stay there. A multitude of good works can cover a multitude of sins. That's a scripture. Without repentance, that's not true, though. Verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, that's to say the lawless one. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. You're going to get everything you've got coming to you in one day. And that's the Lord's day. All at one time. Okay? So make sure your plate stays clean. When we all fall short. I don't know anyone that's perfect. I've been looking. But so far, I just haven't run across one, including myself, certainly. All right? I know I tease a lot about, I'm going to go down there and lay it on them sinners. Well, maybe this one being the chiefest of all right? Because none of us are perfect. But at least we have the rules and the regulations and facing reality that we go by. And if you think for 1 minute I'm saying that gives you license to sin, you're not with me. Verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. That's the sad part. And women rule over them. That's not translated correctly. The Hebrew is that people weak as women, and I even disagree with that. Hey, women are not weak. I don't care how you want to slice it. They can still be going when a man's already hit the couch and sipping something. The woman's still going strong, and he's all out of gas. All right? I mean, don't ever try to tell me women are weak. All right? O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. They destroy the truth, the people who lead. Well, how could that be? Well, I don't know. What path do your children take? We're supposed to have people that lead us, that set examples for our children. How would you like to teach your children what went on in the Oval Office? You think that would be great? I don't. It, quite the contrary, caused many of us to have to explain something very early to our children. It has come to pass that is written. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't you ever take that as an excuse, though, that your leaders cause you to err. They're not you. Why? Because who is your leader? It's not them, it's God. So you have no excuse. But we do fall short. You do not follow the example set forth by a bunch of leaders that have the minds of babes. Okay? You're wise enough to face reality and know when bad leaders are in office, period. Verse 13, the Lord standeth up to plead, to accuse. In other words, usually it's Satan that's the accuser of God's people. Here the Lord is accusing. And standeth to judge the people, meaning what? That sets a time. It's judgment day. 14, the Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. That means the leadership thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. Do you know something? We have given away enough in this past month by, well, I'll say it, the executive branch to take care of a lot of the poor in this nation. A lot of it went yesterday to a not too long ago enemy. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, hey, the scripture is right, and the minds of babes don't use good judgment too often. It does for them for the moment. But you can strip a nation by allowing it to be controlled by the people that God is speaking about here. Well, who are you referring to? Leaders that have the minds of babes. Their actions identify them. I don't have to go by name. And I wouldn't. Okay? I'm not supposed to talk politics. It's God's word that's being a little political here. All right? Verse 15. I really don't understand that part of it either. You know, we really, the ministerial alliances get letters. You cannot talk politics, but certain people go right into churches and preach and politic. Shows you their disregard for law because of what? The minds of babes. The law doesn't apply to me, mama said. Okay? Boy, what a commander-in-chief that would be. 15. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Saith the Lord God of hosts. And that's right. I'm going to tell you what. It's awful, awful to promise the poor everything, to get to be a leader, and then give them nothing. Not care about them. There's plenty in this nation, and the people that really have compassion, the people that really care, know and understand. What? It's written, it is God's word. 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. This is the hardware that a harlot wears to advertise. All right? But we're not worried about harlotry. The contrary that you're supposed to think about is idolatry. being misled. Misled by who? Your own so-called people. What did Christ say? Let him say it. Mark chapter 13 or Matthew 24. Beware in the last days, for men will come in my name to deceive many. Well, what does that mean, come in his name? Claiming to be preachers. Claiming to be Christian ministers. But they're not teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you know and understand what your Father is thinking, but some yo-yo. Well, would you call them a yo-yo? If they're misleading people, they're yo-yos. They run up and down on a string, try to fly people away, which is not biblical. It is not sound doctrine. When men and women of God are supposed to stand against the false Messiah, it's no worry. The one as to how idolatry, false teachings, have drawn our people off the way, the path. 17, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown off the head. The Hebrew is, he's going to make them bald where they had their hair done up nice, advertising their way. At the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. It means simply make them naked. What? Because of their sin. Well, you don't have any rewards? Do you know biblically what your apparel is made up from in heaven? That is to say, after the Lord returns? It is written very precisely in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, that your righteous acts here on earth now weave together the fine linen that you wear in heaven. Your righteous acts makes up the linen you wear in heaven. You mess around out here with some man's traditions rather than the Word of God. Guess what you're going to be wearing there? It won't be hard for him to uncover their secret parts or make them naked, because they're going to have no linen. I don't know. How are you doing for righteous acts? That's up to you. It's not my business. 18. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery, really the finery, of their tinkling ornaments, their methods of advertising about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon. That's to say, headbands with moon-like and star fittings on them, meaning contrary to God's way. 19. The chains and bracelets and the mufflers. That's mufflers are veils that women would wear, okay? Verse 20. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets, and the earrings. This word tablets is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it is bayit nefesh. Let me say that again. Bayit nefesh. You all know what nefesh is. It's your soul. The house of souls. Where is your soul? How is it doing? All right. Is it on the tablets? If your soul has been given to the traditions of men that make void the Word of God, you're in bad shape. You need to get back into the Word of God. You know, our Father is very direct. He speaks in languages that we can relate to because of the things of flesh, even as they affect you. Well, he's talking about idolatry, being led astray with false teachings, and leaders with minds of babes, or ruling as people with minds of babes. It's what it gets you into. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to look around very far to understand these scriptures. The analogy being the people, but the analogy of sin is only the analogy itself. The real thing is not knowing the truth. Idolatry, worshiping something other than God, believing in something other than His Word, His truth. Okay, 21, the rings and nose jewels 22. The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles, I mean, hey, they're decked out for it, friend, in the business, and the wimples, that's the little neck bindings, you know, looking good, and the crisping pins, that's their fancy little purses, you know, walk along with their, hey, they're decked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But hey, that's what religion will do to you. You don't have to worry. Listen, you believe on my word, and you're going to fly away like a big bird. Well, what does God's word say? You don't have to understand that. You don't have to read the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone. Really, you know, face reality. Do you think God's a fool? If God's a fool, then if he's not a fool, then why did he write Revelation? I hope I said that right. God's not a fool, and he wrote Revelation. Do you know what the word means? I don't care what. As a linguist, you translate it to any language you want to. Do you know what it says? To uncover, to make known. And God intends for you to know it. It's written in such a simple language using analogies and symbolism that a child can understand it, if they're a child of God. A lot of people being misled, and oh, it sounds so easy. I'm a little bit lazy. I think I'd rather go with that. Just believe. But, you know, stop and think. The revelation is laid out in sevens, all right? Seven in biblical numerics means spiritual completeness. The Antichrist comes to this earth in the sixth trump, the sixth seal, and the sixth vial. That's 666. The true Christ returns in the seventh seal, the seventh trump, and the seventh vial. Now let me ask you a question. Which comes first, six or seven? You see, I mean, it is absolutely, you can see that the minds of babes, men with the minds of babes leading people in teaching, in religion. And hey, I'm not knocking them. I just prefer truth, that's all. The simplicity of it in which Christ gave it. If they're taught they're going to be gone, they're going to hop in the sack with the false Christ, thinking when his message especially is, darlings, I've come to take you home with me. And they're going to jump at him. Because he comes in, as Daniel a long time ago said, prosperously and peacefully. We're going to forgive all debts, and you just come with Big Daddy. I'll take care of everything. Ooh, he will, all right. Verse 24. Did we get 23? The glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils, 24. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink. Stains on blue dresses, and I don't know, a bunch of other stuff. And instead of a girdle, a rent, okay? And instead of well-set hair, well-platted is what the Hebrew says, baldness. And instead of a stomachum, a grinding of sackcloth, kind of like ropes is what the Hebrew says, and burning instead of beauty. Do you know what that burning is? The Hebrew word is very specific. Branded. You know what they're branded with? Well, it's kind of like the sixth seal and the sixth trump and the sixth vial. And I'm really treading on dangerous ground, because the mark is not a brand. It's what's in your forehead. And tell me, what do you have in your forehead? Your brain. We're not talking about a visible sign. But they are branded in very deep with the traditions of men. And it stinks compared to the beautiful word of the living God, bringing purity and understanding to our people, whereby they overcome. Verse 25. The men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. You know, and with what? What war? With the Antichrist, of course. That's before the true Christ returns. What kind of war is it? It's a spiritual war. Tell me this, what did you put the gospel armor on for? To stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Do you have to worry about them? No. Because Jesus gave us power over all our enemies, period. Verse 26, and her gates shall lament and mourn. Boy, that means a woeful mourning. You would have to go to the book of Lamentations to get a full grip of that. And she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. She won't be as she is described in the great book of Revelation. I sit a queen and I am no widow. When the false Christ is here, her husband is here. Her name is Sister Babylon. What does Babel mean? Confusion. And boy, do we have it. I hope you don't. I hope you take responsibility. Now, I promised you I was going to document that this has to do just before the true Christ returns. Do you know, as it is written in Romans chapter 11, when Elijah cried out, God, they're all gone but me, and they seek my life. And God said, don't you ever worry, I got seven. Of course, the number is 7,000, which in biblical numerics means spiritual completeness, meaning the right number. I got them. That are not going to bow a knee to Baal. They're not going to be fooled by the false Messiah. For when they are delivered up before that synagogue, the Holy Spirit will speak through them, and my word will go forth. Don't forget those seven as we document where we're talking about. Chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, what day? The one we're talking about. Seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, called by what name? You know, non-Christian translators started this wild story about Mary Magdalena was married to Jesus Christ, and probably they even had children, simply because in the translation they read that Mary Magdalena was betrothed to Christ. That's why you never want anybody but a Christian to do your translating for you, because we know we're all betrothed to Christ. There's a great wedding about to take place. Compare this with the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, and perhaps it'll help you get down to ground zero. We're going to take his name. His name is Christ, and we be Christ Christians. Christ man is what the word means. And we will follow him. And those seven will accomplish a great deal. Spiritual completeness, the number that's necessary. What? The number that came through. Faced reality. Covered that was written, for it shall happen exactly as it is written. In that day shall the branch, what is that branch? It's Messiah. It's Jesus Christ. Of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Of course, in the great prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 33, along about verse 22 in the acrostics of 11, you'll have this mentioned. Okay? Verse 3. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, not perhaps, it shall come to pass, that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Even everyone that is written, that are written among the living in Jerusalem. Living, what does that mean? Eternal life. Is your name in that book? You got some rewards up by it, or is it kind of blank? Or maybe a pile of sin? Repent. Don't try to con God. Mean it. Get a fresh start. Start getting ahead. Start being somebody. For the living, that's to say the eternal. And God will bless you. We're coming up to that time. We're nearing that shadow at the end of the day. The Hebrew word Arabia reminds me of it. and the curse that was placed on in Amos chapter 6, verse 14, from the entering in of Hemath, which is to say the Kenite sons of Cain. It means neither night or day, but it's just about over. Now, nobody knows the time or the hour or so forth, but you should know the season. You were promised you would. It's beginning to look, you know, kind of line up. Sure beginning to sound awful familiar. Stay awake. Verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. I don't know, has that happened yet? Of course not. Of course not. The armies are surrounding Jerusalem this day, and blood is flowing. But God himself has promised, if you want to be deceived, I will send delusion upon you. God will help you. If you want to confuse yourself, which is Babylon, Babel, confusion, he said, I'll help you out if you don't follow me. That's written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, where he said, I don't want you to let anybody confuse you. The true Christ is not coming back to this earth until the son of perdition. Perdition in the Greek means to perish. Satan is the only one that has been sentenced to death. It means him. And he's going to stand in Jerusalem claiming to be God and Jesus. If you're not equipped for that, God will help you be confused. He'll help you play the harlot with him. And that's why Jesus would write, woe to those that are with child when I return, from Mark 13. Not literal woman with a child in her womb, but those that are spiritually impregnated with the lies of the traditions of men. Verse 5, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day. No, he's going to protect you from the hot sun and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. God will protect his own. 6, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. God is your covert today. People get nervous when you say, well, that covert activity, sometimes, if it's God's work. But it's certainly not covert necessarily against man. It's just that you don't say out loud in front of Satan what you're going to do. Just tell me sometime when you want to start a new business and advertise it a long time before you get your planning done, if you're a good Christian. I guarantee you, before he wants you to be successful, he's going to throw every block he can in your way. There's not one behind every bush, and I don't want anyone to become a religious fanatic, but you are supposed to be wiser than the serpent. You got a head, use it. Okay? Now, we've read a lot of bad stuff here. And we've read a lot of good stuff. We read more bad stuff than we did good stuff. And just to ensure and to close this off that you don't have anything to worry about, God's in control. Real quickly, turn to chapter 41. We're a little further down the way here, and we're going to conclude this in just a moment. From the type, you understand types. That's to say, it happened the way God teaches us. He says, look here, this is the way it happened then, and that's exactly the way it's going to happen again when it happens to you. Can you learn by that? It's like teaching children, and that's how simple God's word is. The type he brought to destroy Babylon at that time was Cyrus. He wasn't even an Israelite. And God even named him before he was born. My point being, you're Father is in control, so what are you worried about? You want me to say that again? Your Father is in control. If you know his plan, his MO, method of operation, you don't have anything to worry about. This is what he said of Cyrus, and I hope you can put yourself in this position to know God is with you, and you don't have to worry about this stuff. Chapter 41, Isaiah, verse 1. keep silence before me, O islands. That means all the way around the world, from shore to shore. And let the people renew their strength. Well, how do they do that? Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. You strengthen yourself in God's word. That's where all power comes from. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, calling him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? God is able to put whomever he wants to in power. We don't have to worry about it. We know there's a reason for it as it plays out. So don't get shook up. We've got the victory. All right. He gave them as the dust to his sword and as the driven stubble to his bow. Cyrus overcome Babylon. He about conquered the world. Why? Well, God even named him. God will use whomever he chooses. All right. So, and he takes care of you. You don't even have to worry. He will, and always remember when things do get uptight, you people that would have a tendency to be, I don't want to say a worrywart, because I hope none of you are that. You know, that what a waste of time a worrywart is. But if you have a tendency to worry just a little bit, always jot down in your mind 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where God says to you, there's never anything going to happen to you that isn't common to everybody. It's happened to other people. And if you're really with him, he says, I will never place more on you than you can bear. Now, for you that are get pretty loaded up, hey, he knows you can take it. He knows you can carry that load, and you're going to show Satan what a child of God looks like and acts like. And then, just to make double sure you don't panic, he ends the verse by saying, and I will always, always give you a way out. Do you know what? That's a double guarantee that you're going through any problems you have just like that. Well, time-wise, it may take a little longer than that, but he promised you're going on through. You've got the victory. Why? He's in charge. Why am I saying this? I don't want you to get all nervous about what's happening. Okay. Keep doing your best. Don't think I'm telling you to quit. Okay. I mean, when it comes time, you know, have you ever seen an old pressure cooker? You turn the fire up on it, and you know they put that little weight on it. And do you know why they put that weight on it? Because how many of you know what canning was in the old days? I keep forgetting. I apologize for those that don't. This is the way we canned food before you went down to the store to buy it, okay? You put your jars in a pressure cooker to kill all the germs, salmonella, all this kind of crazy stuff, and you turn the fire on under it, and you put a weight over a little, I'll call it a pop-off valve, okay? And when the fire would get so hot, pretty soon it'd go, psh, you know? But you know something? Sometimes that can happen to you. And sometimes it's healthy just to let a little steam off when things are like this. And then say, God's in control, we got the victory, and keep going. Don't do yourself any harm, is what I'm saying. Pop off every once in a while if you have to. But not... why did I say that? I don't know. But anyway, what an analogy. I hope you that have never been around country canning, you'll understand. It was quite a time. It really was. We prepared all of our own food. And I'll guarantee you it tasted a lot better than what we got today. Anyway, I forgot where I am. And I guess we're going to go with verse 3. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. It means God's going to make up for it. It doesn't matter. Who hath wrought and done it? Calling the generations are directing. It's important. That word in the Hebrew will translate better, directing the generations from the beginning. Who did it? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. He's in control, He's in charge, and He's going to direct it all the way down to the end. Well, why does He direct it? Because He's already written what happens, and He has to move the nations to make things happen as it is written, whereby His word is true, because God cannot lie. So you happen to be in kind of one of the caps of a wave. Don't worry, the wave will pass and everything will smooth out. You're a Christian, act like it. And hey, if it helps a little bit when you hear a thief about to steal something, that's time for a little relief, you know. Let the steam fly, okay, and then settle back down if it's of consequence. I will say this in addition. The American people will only take so much. They will only be pushed so far. Example, remember when they decided to cut our gas off once before to see how well people would behave if they had to be in long lines waiting for fuel? It wasn't pretty. And I can tell you something else. We hear all these stories of how mean other soldiers can be in war and so forth, and how quickly that they become all villains. I'm going to tell you, I've fought with a lot of Americans, and they can be mean fighting machines when they have to be. It just takes about 30 days to really get them seasoned. Now, am I saying that's going to happen in this country? No. I'm just saying they're not going to push past the danger button. Don't worry about it, all right? God, again, is in control. And you know what? He loves you a great deal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your written word. Thank You, Father, for letting us know and understand Your ways, Father, for Your way is the way it's going to be. We, Thy servants, seek Your direction. Use these, Father, to Thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that He did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ Himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them. The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that great song of Moses, that those that overcome the false Messiah in the end generation will be singing. The law itself being the schoolmaster that keeps us out of trouble in these flesh bodies. again, an education in taming that part of you that oftentimes needs taming through the old schoolmaster, that great book, Deuteronomy, the law, and its set ways of keeping you from harm's way even in this generation. You're going to enjoy it.
The epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it, the book of Ezekiel.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645. 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
This has been a long time I've been promising a children's book.